I want to speak tonight upon the subject of getting a word from the Lord. We will be basing our remarks upon the words of verse 9, where Eli gives counsel to Samuel, instructing him to say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." There is nothing so precious as a word from God. Sadly, because of a faulty set of values, many, even among the people of the Lord, there is a failure to recognize the value of hearing the Lord speak. Many are absent tonight from the house of God because they don't quite value, as they ought to value, the word of the Lord. The psalmist instructs us in the Psalm 12 and the verse 6, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." It is a statement that indicates the value of the word of God. Over in the Psalm 19, the same writer speaks of the word of God as being more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. He was a man who had impressed upon his heart the value of hearing a word from the Lord. It is very striking to observe that the third chapter of 1 Samuel begins with a reference to the value of communication from heaven. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Direct communication from heaven to men had become a very scarce thing indeed. The emphasis is upon the value of the word that had already been given. The emphasis is upon the written word that was then in existence. It was precious. It was precious because there was very little of any fresh revelation from heaven. There was no open vision. There was no great demonstration of God's power. These are the days of the judges coming to an end. Days when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And the word of God was, or communication from God to men, was an experience that was very limited. There was no open vision. It's interesting, I think, that the chapter begins in this way, emphasizing the value of the Word of God, emphasizing the preciousness of the nature of real communion with heaven. Interesting that the chapter should then progress to record for us a precious experience in the life of the child Samuel, where for the first time in his experience, and perhaps for the first time in a very long while in Shiloh, there was a word from God. Here is a precious incident where the word of God is revealed in its glory, and communion with heaven is once more restored. And the chapter concludes that the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. And the Lord revealed himself there to Samuel by or in the word of the Lord. Surely the purpose of God in beginning and ending the chapter in this way is to draw our attention to the preciousness of the communion with God that Samuel entered into on this occasion. There is no doubt that we can say that this experience of hearing the voice of God for the child Samuel was the most precious experience of his entire life. It is at this point that Samuel is saved. It is at this point that he passes from darkness to light, where he comes to know God, even as a child, as a young lad, there in the tabernacle. God reveals himself in his word to Samuel. His life is changed forever, and there begins a life of glorious communion with God, a precious experience, a privilege Samuel was. In days where the Word of God was precious, in days where it was rare and scarce to hear of direct communication from God to men, Samuel is brought into that experience. Samuel lives in that environment where he hears from that point on the Word of the Lord. The counsel that Eli gave to Samuel in the verse 9 was under God the means of preparing him for that precious experience. It was the means of preparing his heart from a human perspective to enter into communion with God, to begin to enjoy that precious experience of hearing the voice of the Lord and getting a word from heaven. It was Eli's counsel to him where he instructed Samuel to say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And because Samuel obeyed the counsel that Eli gave to him, he entered into that precious experience of personal communion with God and hearing His Word. I believe that it is true to observe today that many of God's people live in a situation that is very much like that described in the verse 1 of this chapter. The Word of God, a word from God directly to their souls, is a rare experience. There was no, or is no, open vision. There is no continual day-by-day experience of hearing the voice of God. I believe that that's the case. I know that to be so in the lives of others because I know how easy in my own heart it is to be in that state and in that condition. I know that for a fact because of what the Scripture teaches me as I look into the histories of good men and women in God's Word and see that there were prolonged periods of time in their life where there was no word from the Lord. They weren't in communion with God. They didn't hear His voice. And it is, I think, appropriate for us to contemplate Eli's advice since under God, this counsel was the means of introducing Samuel to this marvelous and precious experience of hearing the voice of the Lord, not only once, but for a lifetime, as the Lord went on to reveal Himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the Word of the Lord. Here is good counsel. Here is good advice. And I believe that it is counsel, if we will heed it, that will bring us into the experience that Samuel enjoyed here for the first time. It will bring us to experience the voice of God. We will not hear the voice of God in the same audible sense that Samuel heard it. But nonetheless, if we obey the counsel that Eli gave to Samuel, we will, in a very real sense, hear God speak. In our soul, we will know what it is to hear the voice of the Lord. As we read this word, it will become a living word. It will become almost an audible word in our heart and in our soul. We will hear the tones of God speaking to us. But there is the counsel to consider first. I know that for the Christian there is that natural thought, the natural inclination of heart that delights in communion with God, that relishes the prospect of hearing the voice of the Lord. But many will say, "How? How do I have such an experience?" I remember being asked by a Christian man, "How does God speak? How does God speak to you?" I had in a casual aside fashion when speaking of something else, had made the comment, "Well, the Lord it just spoke to me and showed me what to do. And that sort of puzzled them. How was it that the Lord spoke to you? So I had to explain, well, it was through the Word of God. But as I read the Word of God, it became personal. I heard in my heart the Lord speak to me. I knew what it was to have communion with Him. And many will ask that question. How can I have that experience? Well, the words of Eli are the answer, where he directed Samuel to say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." I want us just to observe two very simple things tonight. First of all, we're just going to look at the attitude that is necessary to hearing a word from God. We're going to look at the counsel that Eli gave to Samuel, and to see there the kind of heart that is needed if we are to hear the Lord's voice and if we are to have communion with Him. Eli, sadly, was slow to recognize that the Lord was speaking to Samuel. I want you to notice just how radically his counsel to Samuel alters the moment he recognizes that this is God speaking to the lad. As soon as Eli recognizes there in the verse 8 that he perceived that the Lord had called the child, when he recognizes that, you see the difference in the advice that he gives? Up until this point, he has basically said to Samuel, "Samuel, just go and lie down again. It's nothing to become alarmed about, nothing to get excited about, nothing that you need concern yourself with. Just go lie down again." Perhaps he thought the child was imagining things. "Nothing to worry about, nothing to concern yourself about. Just go and lie down, go back to sleep." That's what he said. But as soon as he recognized that this was not the voice of man, nor was it some figment of the child's imagination, but it was the voice of God, then Eli's advice and counsel to Samuel altered dramatically. How easy it is to give the wrong advice in spiritual matters. How easy it is. How easy it is to put people off with the wrong answer. Where would Samuel have been that Eli never realized that this was the voice of God? Of course, the Lord is sovereign and working all things out according to His purpose, but where would Samuel have been if his final reaction to the voice of God was, "It's not worth worrying about, I'm going back to sleep"? Samuel would have been in hell. Samuel would never have known what it was to live a life as a servant of God in communion with God. And yet how many there are today, and that's the counsel they're following. "Not worth worrying about. I just go back to sleep. Just go back to sleep." That's their attitude to when God is speaking, because they don't recognize the solemnity. They don't recognize the seriousness of the circumstance. And as long as Eli thought, "This is just the voice of a man," or "This is just the figment of his imagination," his advice was, "You just settle down and go to sleep." But where God is speaking, there's different advice and different counsel called for. When God's voice is to be heard, there's a very different approach that is needed. This is more than just a man speaking. This is more than the words of man that we're thinking of tonight. I know in some instances, as now, for example, you're listening to the voice of man. But in the preaching of God's Word, there's more than the voice of man. There is the voice of God. As God's Word is faithfully preached, there is that's God speaking. That's one of the ways in which He speaks. And our attitude to that should never be, "Let's just go back to sleep and forget about it. It's not that important. It's just a man." Here's the voice of God. It's to be listened to. Eli's counsel changed radically whenever he realized that God was at work and it was the voice of the Lord that the child was hearing. Over in Job 33, in the verse 14, there is the reminder there. God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. God can speak and man not realize it. God speaks through His written word, through the preaching of His word, through the text that's displayed on a sign or in an advertisement. God speaks to men even through circumstances of life. He speaks to them once and again, but they don't hear. They don't understand. They don't listen because they don't recognize the voice of the Lord. Oh, how important it is for us to recognize the voice of the Lord. As soon as Eli recognized that it was the Lord that was speaking, his counsel to Samuel changed entirely. Now, there are several key thoughts in the counsel that he did give to the young lad in the verse 9. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. To enter into communion with God will require, firstly, the heart of a servant. This is what Eli impresses upon this boy. The heart of a servant is required. He is counseled to take the posture of humiliation before God. He is counseled to take a low position before the Lord as he speaks. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. He is to act as a servant. He is to come to the Lord with a servant heart if he wants to hear the Lord's voice and wants to have communion with God. Now, Samuel had demonstrated clearly enough, even in the record of the verses that we have read tonight, he had demonstrated very clearly the obliging nature that he had. He was ready to serve. He was ready to run the moment he thought he had heard Eli's voice. He was ready to stand at the old man's side and to do whatever was required of him. He had shown that obliging servant's heart toward men. But here is something different. It's one thing to serve men. It's one thing to be ready even to serve the servants of God as Samuel served Eli. But it's something entirely different to be a servant of the Lord. It takes us to a different level entirely. It takes us to a different sphere of activity. It takes us down into the heart. It takes us beyond the surface. And it causes us to think of the state of our heart before God. Are we the Lord's servant? Eli states here in this word of counsel that such a heart is necessary if we are to enter into personal communion with God and to hear His voice. We need the heart of a servant. What is a servant? Well, the word here simply and literally comes from the verb to work or to labor. A servant, you will readily understand and recognize, as someone who works. More than that, in the Old Testament, it was very often used of the slave. One whose will, one whose mind, whose body, whose service, whose energy belonged not to himself, but to another. Samuel is to take that position before God. Lord, I am your servant. I'm ready to work. I'm ready to labor. Strength, my strength, my mind, my soul, my heart, my body, I am the Lord's. Eli impresses this upon the young lad. Maybe as a child, he may have reasoned in his heart, I can't do very much for the Lord. And yet what the Lord required of him was the heart of a servant. The willingness to do whatever he was asked, to do whatever work or labor was given to him. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. The heart of the servant is further seen in Eli's words here, as he infers that Samuel is to wait for the Lord to speak. I want you to notice this and to think carefully about what he says here in verse 9. Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that, and we could add in the word then, just for emphasis, that then thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Eli recognized that if Samuel was going to enter into communion with God, he must wait for the Lord to speak. Now it is very proper for us to ask the Lord to speak. That's a proper thing to pray. We have many instances of that in Scripture where there is a seeking of the Lord proactively on the part of a Christian. Lord, will you not speak to me? But when you think about it, it's not possible for there to be communion with God unless and until God speaks. It's only when He speaks and we respond to that that we can enter into communion with Him. And Eli is impressing here upon the young child Samuel that he is to respond to God's speaking. That's where his chief duty comes into play. As God speaks, then you speak. As you hear the voice of the Lord, if He calls, then speak. And that's what it will mean to enter into communion with Him. If He calls you, then you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. None of us can make God speak. We need to recognize the sovereignty of the Lord in this matter. If the Lord keeps silence and determines in Himself to be silent, not all our prayers or all our efforts or worship will stir Him to speak. He is sovereign in that matter. We need to wait upon God and wait upon Him until He speaks, and to be in a state where we are ready when we hear His voice to respond to Him. That's what Eli says here to Samuel. If He call thee, then at that point, that's the crucial point, when the Lord calls, then say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And here is a thought that is impressed, I believe, upon Samuel's heart, that he is utterly dependent upon the mercy of God. The Lord doesn't speak, I can't make Him speak. I can't. The Lord doesn't choose to speak to me, I can't make Him speak. Samuel here goes back to his quarters, back perhaps to his little bed, to wait on the Lord speaking to him. That's an element of having a heart like a servant. It's waiting upon God. Just waiting for the Lord to move, the Lord to speak. But you'll see something else that Eli instructs Samuel in here, and that is that he must recognize the speaker. Eli sets before the mind of the young child and his counsel here the identity of the one who has been calling him. Speak, Lord. You'll know that to be the translation of the name Jehovah. Speak, Lord. Speak, Jehovah, for thy servant heareth. Eli impresses upon Samuel's mind that the one to whom he has listened, the one to whom he must now respond, is none other than Jehovah God Himself. Now, in Samuel's case, this was, of course, a vital point of truth. Verse 7 tells us that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And on three occasions he thought he had heard the voice of Eli, when in reality he had heard the voice of God. He didn't know the Lord. He was in ignorance of the Lord. And so Eli, in this little sentence of counsel and instruction identifies to Samuel's mind and heart, Samuel, this is the Lord. And when you hear him speak, you respond with that in mind. Respond with this thought in your heart that this is Jehovah God that you're listening to. All around Samuel, every day of his life, there were the awe-inspiring indicators of the character and the nature of Jehovah God. Being among the priests, being himself a priest, being in the tabernacle day and night, he saw the nature and the character of God revealed. When Eli speaks to him, saying, Son, this is the Lord that's speaking to you. It's the Lord that you're going to do business with now. He is, I'm sure, impressing upon Samuel something that brings fear into the heart of the child. He knows from the sacrifices about the holiness of Jehovah. He knows from all the symbols and the topology of the tabernacle, something of the terror of the Lord. And I believe that it is for this reason that Samuel in the verse 10 says to the Lord, speak, but does not use the name Jehovah. Speak, for thy servant heareth. He knew well who was speaking, but does not bring himself to use the name of the Lord. I believe, at least in part, to indicate that he knew something about the identity of the speaker, that his heart had been impressed so much with a fear of God that his tongue could not frame that name. He, I believe, has come to see himself as a sinner and recognizing the greatness, the power, the majesty of Jehovah God, cannot as a sinner take that name upon his lips. But he knows the identity of the speaker from Eli's counsel. His heart is gripped with the thought that it is God that he is dealing with. You know, it's possible for us as the people of the Lord to become sinfully familiar with the things of God and the character and the person of God as it is revealed in Scripture. We can forget that when we speak about hearing the voice of the Lord, it is just that, the voice of the Lord. It is the voice of the Almighty, the voice of the unchanging Jehovah God. That's the communion that we're talking about. That's the one that we're dealing with. And Eli says to Samuel, in light of the personage that you are dealing with, here is how you approach this whole matter. You say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. He is to have a heart that expresses to the Lord a desire for his word. He is urged here by Eli to address the Lord and to say, speak. He is urged to plead now for God to speak as he hears the voice of the Lord. He is to have a heart that says, Lord, speak on. Speak more. Speak longer. Don't stop speaking. Speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth. I think there is, too, here an indication to Samuel that he is to submit himself to God's chosen method of revelation and communication. Many today look for something new. But you see what Eli says to Samuel? Speak. That's God's chosen method of communication to men. It is through his word. There was a time, and this was one of the instances where God spoke audibly. He spoke His Word audibly. Today we deal with the written Word, but it's still the Word of God. This is God's sovereignly appointed means of communication to men. There is no other way. There's no point. Eli suggests to us in his words, it is wrong to look for some other method of communication. Samuel was instructed just to say to the Lord, speak. That was God's method of communication to men. And he submits himself to that method. He doesn't seek for something new or something radical or something different. He is going to content himself with God's established manner of communing with men. There is also a readiness to listen and to obey. The young lad hears a word from God as he acts as a servant, as he recognizes that it is Jehovah that he's doing business with, as he submits himself to God's established means of communication, and as he expresses a readiness to hear and to obey. For the same word here expresses both ideas. The word often translated here in the Old Testament is the word that is also translated obey, but because both ideas are in the word. To really hear is to obey. Those who disobey the Word of God don't hear it at all. They don't really hear it. It may enter into the ear and into the mind, but they never hear it with the heart, because if we hear what God has to say, we will obey what God has to say. And Eli is impressing this upon the child. Say this to the Lord, Samuel. Speak. For Lord, I'm your servant. I give myself to you, Lord, body, mind, and soul. I want to serve. I'm ready to hear. I'm ready to hear. Is there that readiness within us tonight? Do we find in our heart that expression even now to the Lord, saying, Lord, I'm your servant. I'm not only going to listen, I'm going to obey. Because you see, where there is that spirit, where this advice and counsel is followed, the Lord speaks. There is the enjoyment of that precious communion with God through His Word. The Lord revealed Himself to Samuel by the Word. Do we want to get a word from God tonight? Is there that desire in our heart every day? There ought to be. There ought to be. But here, if not the actual words that we should use every day, then certainly let this be the spirit that we manifest every day. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Let me just leave this thought with you in closing, that this is an attitude to be practiced and promoted by every Christian. Eli, as the high priest, stands as a type of Christ in Scripture. Now, he's a very poor type of Christ. He's a man filled with failures. But nonetheless, he is in some limited way a reflection of the Lord Jesus, just as we, in our limited way, are a reflection of Christ. We acknowledge our failures. We acknowledge our sin and our weakness, but there is to be about us a reflection of the Savior. Eli, in his office as high priest and as judge, is seen in some way as a type of the Savior. And therefore he is seen here, at least in a limited sense, as an example of what the Christian is to be. In his counsel to Samuel, in his promotion of this state of heart, this attitude that Samuel is to have toward the Lord, as he promotes that, and counsels the lad to have such a heart and have such an attitude, he is acting in a Christ-like fashion. That's how we're to live. We are to live promoting the kind of attitude that is described here. Are we not called by God to labor so as to bring men into communion with Him? That's a great calling. Here is the attitude then that we are to promote. Sadly, Eli's advice was better than his own practice. Here is a case in point of one who preached well but didn't practice what he preached. Eli had not listened to the word of God as he ought to have done. In chapter 2 and in chapter 3, there are two messages recorded that are rebukes from God to Eli. You look at chapter 3 in the verse 13, I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. Eli had failed miserably in the raising of his boys. The raising of his sons, they were the children of the devil. They grew up to be defiant rebels against God, and they perished under the judgment of God. And the history of Scripture would teach us that Eli had not lived as he had advised Samuel to live. He had not lived as the faithful servant of God, discharging his duty that God had given to him as a father. He had failed, and failed miserably. Nevertheless, his advice and his counsel is good. But let us learn, we learn nothing else from Eli's example. Oh, it's good to have the right words, it's good to have the right advice, it's good to have counsel that will help sinners and help others to find God and to enjoy communion with Him. But if we know the theory, do we practice it? What an awful indictment it is to know the doctrine, to know the theory, to know how to have communion with God and never to enjoy it. That was Eli's experience. What do we read? There was no open vision. Eli was the man who should have had the vision. Eli, as the high priest, was the man who ought to have been in tune with God. Well, God spoke in Shiloh, he didn't speak to Eli, because Eli's heart was not right. He wasn't practicing himself, but he knew to be right. This is the doctrine. This is how to find communion with God and get a word from the Lord. But oh, that God would give us more than the theory and give us the grace to practice it. Let me just point out here that this is a lesson regarding the spiritual instruction of children. In a special sense, Eli was acting as Samuel's adoptive father. He was, as a father to Samuel, addressing him here on a number of occasions as his son. As a father, he impresses upon the heart of this boy that is in his charge and in his care. He has brought the boy to respond to this counsel, to respond to this advice. Son, here's how you live. Here's what you say. Here's how you address the Lord. O God, speak, for thy servant heareth. These are lessons and attitudes that are to be impressed upon our children and impressed upon the young. Here is a truth that is to be impressed upon the unsaved. Samuel was unsaved at this point, and this is the counsel that Eli presses upon him as an unsaved boy. Here's how you enter into communion with God. Here's how you enter into fellowship with the Lord. You're a sinner, you're far from God, but here's how you come to know Him. Speak, Lord, for thy servant here. Does the Savior himself not remind us, even as he takes that unnamed little lad into his arms in Matthew 18, and he says, if you don't enter the kingdom of God with the heart of a child, you'll never enter it. If you don't submit and humble yourself before God and enter the kingdom with the heart of the child, the heart of a servant, ready to obey, you'll never enter into an experience of salvation. Samuel entered into the experience of God's saving grace in his life because he took Eli at his word. Here's our calling, to impress upon men the need for them to humble themselves before God if they're ever to be saved. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. That's the word the sinner needs to hear. Here too is a word for every minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In some sense, that's the calling that Eli had. It is the preacher's duty to cultivate a spirit of surrender to God and devotion to his word. That's my calling. It's my duty. And under God, as Eli impressed upon Samuel, certainly I have a duty in my own life and a responsibility to live, to practice as I preach. But I have a responsibility to impress upon your heart and upon the heart of everyone that God brings in to hear the preacher, the duty to submit to what God says. That's my calling. Like Eli, in some sense, I must address myself to your heart. Every time we have opportunity to meet together in this fashion, I must address myself to your heart with this theme in mind. Oh, we will consider many different topics and many different subjects, many different forms of application, but ultimately it will boil down to this. I am impressing upon your heart the attitude that you must say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I think in one sense, this is one of the highest definitions of preaching. It is to bring others to the point where they want to hear the voice of God and surrender to what the Lord has to say. As I've said already, sadly, in Eli's case, his doctrine was good, his practice was poor. Oh, may the Lord deliver us from that, deliver me from that, deliver you from that. Let's submit ourselves to hearing, to obeying, to doing as a servant the will and the word of God. It is as we come to the Lord with that attitude that God will speak. God spoke to Samuel. He lived a life of communion with God. There's a wonderful verse later on in this book where Samuel is now a mature prophet. And there is a marvelous statement made where the Lord had told Samuel the day before in his ear, saying, Samuel was an intimate with God. And it began and continued, I believe, as there was the exercise of this principle in his life, when he bowed his head and his heart before God and said, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. May the Lord give us that heart and that experience of communion with him. For these are days when there is no open vision. These are days when there is a scarcity of God's word being revealed to men and women. There's not the revelation and the knowledge of God that there ought to be. Even in Shiloh, even in the house of God, there isn't the communion with God that there should be. But we can begin to remedy that As we bow our knee and our heart like Samuel, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Let's bow together, please, in prayer.